Cassandra, it's a whole new world. And even though things are opening back up, we're still trying to find new ways of doing things. We're thinking about new precautions, all kinds of things. And for a lot of people, they are still not able to go back to work. And so a lot of people are looking at new ways and new avenues of working and making income. So I was thinking, with one of our regular guests who is an expert in these things, let's go all the way back to the beginning.
Sure.
And let's look at, for people who are starting down a new path work-wise, we know there's lots of buzzwords. This year, right now, in this new world, pivot. Ooh, that's a big one. You got to pivot. Can't work right now? Pivot. Do something else. And one of those buzzwords that is so important is brand. What is your brand? How do you figure out your brand? All that good stuff. And so let's check in with the communications coach who helps people communicate more clearly, whether that's giving a presentation, a speech, mixing socially. You can be an individual or a team. He does it all. Please welcome back to the show, Evan Thompson. Hi, Evan.
Good afternoon. Thanks very much for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, listen, we always know we love talking to you.
And in these times, there's certainly lots to talk about.
Well, there absolutely is. So, yeah, I was thinking about it. I mean, Evan, you've been coming on the show, what, for at least 2 years now, right?
Yes, I believe I have tracked my number of visits. I think it's close to 60 at this point.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Not a piece of key data, but certainly interesting and memorable for me.
No, absolutely. And so, yeah, I was thinking, you know, I think we've gotten to a point with you where we've kind of developed a shorthand, but I was thinking that for people that are newer to the show or in a new situation, let's revisit some of the things that we have talked about before. And I think one thing that certainly it took years for me to really sort of grasp what it meant. But let's talk about the concept of your brand, because forever a brand just meant a name you recognize, right? It's like, even if you buy Scott's brand tissues, you call them Kleenex. Like, it's there, it was a name that you associate with a product, but it's evolved into something else. And so, kind of tell us, what is a brand? What is your personal brand?
Well, quite simply, personal brand is really what people say about us after we have left the room. It's what they remember from the conversations they've had with us, how we respond to them, how we react to their views and opinions. Are we communicative? Are we conciliatory, open? The brand really is the definition of who we are. And the best part comes when our personal brand reflects the true us, mm-hmm. our real why, as the writer Simon Sinek says, why we do what we do and why we feel what we feel. So it's authenticity and it's memorability and it's being able to communicate.
And I think, yeah, that's I love that idea of, like, what do people think of you or say after you've left the room, because mm-hmm. it is that idea, especially if you're doing a job or trying to start a business or something like that, where you are the product or service, or you are very much representative of what it is. Yeah, how do you want to make people feel? What do you want people to think about you when you leave the room, and how do you shift or best present that?
Yeah, I like the idea of the shift, because everyone is shifting in these times. Everyone is pivoting. And mm-hmm. I love that term, pivot. It makes me think of a basketball court where you've got the basketball and you're stepping with one foot while keeping the other stationary at the point of contact with the floor, which means you don't end up going around in circles. You're centered, you have a core, and you have a direction. And when you pivot, that direction can change. And it's how well you pivot that really depends on whether you survive or not, to be quite honest. If you're a business person, if you're an artist, a writer, you really in these times need to just, I suppose another phrase is roll with the punches. And the best way to do this is to know what truly motivates you, what gives you pleasure, where your passion lies, and do your best to communicate that to other people who may be equally stressed, like your partners, your life partners, your neighbors, clients, parents, even your pets pick up on our stress during these times.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can, as a pet owner, I can talk to that. If I'm not having a great day, Luna is not her playful self. But if I come bounding back into the house, it's game on. So I'm doing a lot of pivoting in my business. I'm learning to work remotely as opposed to face to face with people, which is a huge pivot for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what's happening with us, right? And I'm having to learn how to connect with people without being able to see them, which is quite difficult for me. Like, if we have someone in studio and I'm getting all the nonverbal cues and I can sense, like, it's easier to joke with people, to connect with people, to know how far you can go. But if I can only hear your voice, I can't see your face, I have to be much more careful and
mindful.
And mindful, yeah, absolutely. And then also, it's very difficult too, because sometimes it's hard to tell if someone is just pausing and kind of thinking of a word, or if they're done talking, or and then you talk over each other. And so, yeah, it's really interesting the little ways and then how that pivot and talking to people through the phone does in a way affect my quote-unquote brand, right? Because I think it does, it changes the way I interact with people a little bit.
Well, you and Cassandra, you know, during my visits, I can speak to that. You've always been totally communicative and totally open and easy to relate to. And in a perfect world, that carries over to phone conversations. For people who aren't as skilled as you are, it can be a real trial if people have to not see the people in front of them. So we pivot and we have to really concentrate. We have to visualize that person at the other end of the phone or text or email and try and imagine their take on what we're saying as we're speaking, which means we have to do two things at once. We have to be mindful of them, as Cassandra says, and then we have to be mindful of what we're saying. So what comes out of our mouth supports our brand and we don't come off like idiots.
Yeah, you can't see Alv right now, but she's pretty pleased with herself that she is she's had pleasant experiences and interactions.
Evan said I was skilled.
Evan said he was skilled. Evan, in the sense of going back to the beginning, starting over, this might be a dumb question, but what is the difference between marketing and branding?
Marketing, in my estimation, is the movement or selling of huge amounts of product or services to a large, large population, a target audience. Packaged goods, pharmaceuticals, sportswear, they market to large groups of people who they try and identify as their ideal customers. The branding comes in when those marketers try and differentiate themselves from their competitors. There's hundreds of people in the athletic footwear space, but the brand will often make a difference as to who sells and who doesn't. So in the brand development, we try and build almost human relatable qualities to between people and ourselves. And we humanize products so that they have brands that will emote and relate to people. And this is all based on psychology. You, as you know, I mean, it's just, it's a science. Personal branding shouldn't really be deemed a science, but in essence, it is. And it's very, very complicated.
Well, and you know what? The more you read, too, about how big brands market to people, the more terrifying it gets. Mm-hmm. And like, even if you think about it, it's like Coke has been very good at humanizing their product, right? And I want to teach the world to sing. And
I was just thinking of that. Yeah.
Whereas Pepsi, I can think of some big mistakes Pepsi made over the years, right? Even though I personally prefer Pepsi to Coke. It's like that to me in the cola wars is sort of an easy way to see how people or how these companies kind of almost make you choose.
Yeah, well, they set up the stage. It's like sort of organizing a boxing match, to use Pepsi and Coke. Before social got big, the Pepsi Challenge was really, really popular, and Coke came out with an alternative brand, which failed. And this was based on surveys done in malls and phone-ins. There really wasn't that huge social media apparatus. But now that social's here, people ascribe personalities to products, and the influencers, the good influencers, are having a field day because they're sort of like tagging their personal awesomeness to an inanimate object that will be used once or twice and thrown away. It's I hate the word hype, but I think what is essentially a good thing, that the personal brand has now been sort of hijacked by product marketers for the dollar.
Right.
And we are a capitalist economy.
You know, it's funny, again, to go back to cola, like Dave Chappelle used to have a joke where he was like, I like Pepsi better because they paid me more recently. And then he went on to say, like, he can't even tell the difference. And that is really interesting. By the way, I remember going to the mall back in the day and doing the Pepsi Challenge. And I can absolutely taste the difference. But I think it's really, that's a really interesting point. The idea that social media, now people are, they're essentially selling their personal brand, right? And you think of people like the Kardashians and the Jenners, where we think we know them and we know what they like, but do we actually know what we like, or do we just know what they get paid to like?
Well, we're in awe of what they're paid to publicly like.
Yeah.
Because we're in awe of their fame, and some of us really want to be just like them. So if we take that lifestyle and that mindset and run with it and make it our own, we hijack their personal brand, and with it comes product. So it gets screwed up awfully quickly. And in times like this, when a lot of people don't have any money to do anything, let alone eat, it gets very, very complicated, where we've pivoted from being consumers to savers and very soon hoarders.
Right.
That's the biggest pivot of all, going hungry.
So, Evan, if people are not sure, like, okay, so for people who are pivoting right now and trying to find a new way, maybe a new job, a new way of working, how do they figure out what their brand is if they're not sure about that? How do they know, you know, if they're marketing themselves, maybe they're going to try consulting for the first time, or they're going to something like that. Like, how do you know what your brand is?
Well, it's often easier said than done, especially when you're trying to, you know, make rent, feed your children, feed your pets. You really need to hit pause and talk about what brings you the true joy that you need to really succeed. You can get five jobs, five gigs, and not like any of them and bounce around, which is emotionally and financially exhausting. And try and match your personal brand, your personality, what makes you tick with the job or the opportunity, and really ask yourself, is it a fit? And again, easier said than done, be selective. Because, you know, an extra couple of days in job search may make a huge difference to a lot of people. But if you can be patient and resilient and know that what you're looking for is truly what you want to do, then I believe you'll be much further off. I'm just looking at people who offer, you know, beautiful restaurant experiences, and now it's takeout. And a lot of them love it because they're doing what they love to do, which is feeding people. It's just in a different way. And they need to do this to survive. Others have just shuttered their restaurants and walked away, fired their staffs, and moved on to something else, which, you know, is not my place to judge. People do what they have to do. But if you can be reflective and look at what you really enjoy doing and what you're good at, and maybe riff off something that you're already doing. You know,
Evan,
for example, yes.
Sorry, yeah, no, go on.
No, I was just going to say, you know, for example, you know, you could be a musician, and you love doing live gigs, but there are no live gigs, so you decide that you can't sell anything online because people probably don't have the money, and you're not well known. So what you do is you work free, and you do YouTube pieces for children on themes that you loved as a child that give you courage and comfort and passion in these times. And I guarantee that you will be noticed and you will be respected. And those tough times will pay off. I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but there's a lot of people on Instagram who are now doing free pieces, and they're going through the roof. And it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it, but I think you may know the person. Very, very successful because they're doing what they love.
I can't think of. I don't know. I'm trying to think, but I'm also curious. I know we've asked you in the past about, you know, how, like we've said a million times, pivot, and how companies and brands are trying to market and advertise towards, you know, COVID-19 and how they are adapting to the times that we're going through. I'm curious with the recent 2 weeks that we've experienced, you know, with everything going on in the world with racism, and how some brands, you know, speak out or they put on social media their thoughts. Where do you stand on, from a company standpoint, expressing how you feel with global issues?
I think if I were a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, I would make damn sure that before I started promoting anti-racism, LGBTQ rights, I would make sure that I had representation on my board and that my investors represented a wide range of the people who I was standing up for or kneeling for. Mm-hmm. It makes me really quite angry when I see Me Too jump on the bandwagon sort of strategies where all of a sudden, we better get someone online and celebrate their accomplishments. And then you go to their website and you see very little representation, if any.
Well, and a lot of companies, it's been backfiring for them, right? They've put out statements about supporting Black Lives Matter, and then all of a sudden, all these stories come out of where they are in no way living up to that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you want to make sure if you're going to come out and publicly say, our company supports it, especially the bigger the company, the more careful you better be that your company is actually living up to those standards, because you will get, people have receipts, you will get called out.
And you will be punished. I'm just thinking of Nike, you know, touting anti-racism and their support, because they clothe a vast number of Afro-American, Afro-Canadian athletes and athletes around the world of color. But you go to their board page, you go to their board of directors, white males, almost exclusively. That's probably the poster example that I can think of. But that's looking at the negative. The positive is when companies who really are vested and believe in anti-racism and they have a track record supporting it, I think they're fully entitled to stand up and do that and promote their beliefs. Because the public is a very, very skeptical, doubting beast, especially now. Trust is so low. Yeah. And I've always likened the trust level for law enforcement to the general trust quotient that the advertising agencies measure, you know, in public opinion. And right now, I've never seen it so low. Not since 1969, Detroit, Syracuse. The riots, have I seen so much malaise, emotional malaise in the United States. And now it's up here in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Scary. But an awakening. Everyone's just being doused with buckets of ice cold water.
Yeah. Well, and the thing I was trying to think yesterday, because it does feel like literally everything is coming to the surface right now in every area of the world. But you know what? I think it has to, right? We hid things as societies for so long. And when one thing starts coming up, it's like everything's going to come up. You can't. So, listen, I kind of like now finding out that some of the brands and companies that I backed, I like finding out where they stand, and not where they say they stand, but yeah, the way people are keeping track, and the way, you know, some companies have come out and said, oh yeah, we stand behind this. And then again, you know, former employees or current employees have come out and said, no, you don't live by that standard. And I do like knowing that, because I do want to support those companies and those brands and those people that are legitimately being ethical and thoughtful in the way they conduct their business.
And a lot of investors, I agree, a lot of investors to check out the anti-racist cred factor, as I call it, are going back through archival documents, speeches from CEOs, you know, in the top 500. And they're going back a decade, 5 years, 3 years. And the further back that conversation was taking place, I believe the more legitimate the claim to being anti-racist.
Yeah.
And you get a good sense going to the bank feeds and websites and reading CEOs' remarks from 5 years ago. Chances are there weren't a lot of comments about workplace inclusiveness and the Me Too movement, which hadn't happened then.
Yeah.
But there needs to be consistency.
Right.
Which equals credibility.
That is so true. Oh, Evan, you know what I miss? I miss when you would come in studio and you would save your badge, and you
he
would stay
to
for
studio
ages.
An hour early too, because he's so respectful
efficient.
Yep. and punctual.
Well, our conversations really are quite extraordinary. I feel like I'm speaking with people who I've known for years. And yes, I do save my badges for your listeners who don't know. Visitors get a badge. and they're supposed to drop it off before they leave. I don't take the security tag. I just take the badge, and I stick it in my closet, and I've got quite a few now, and they serve as memories of each conversation. I think it's sort of cool.
I think it's adorable, and I love it. And
so no badges. I'm making my own these days, but I'll get through it. I'll pivot. I'm pivoting.
There you go.
Please make your own badge. That would be amazing. You know what? But Evan, it's always so wonderful to talk to you, and thank you for joining us again today. And I want to remind everyone that they can go to evanthompsonandassociates.com. And if you need help in communications, whether it's personally or in business, Evan is the man for you. Thank you so much for joining us again today.
Thank you very much for having me.